Thanks, Andrew. Like I said this morning, we're going to try to spend some time tonight in thanksgiving to the Lord. And I want to apologize again for not making it further through the sermon this morning. I've heard a couple of comments that people were looking at their watches at like 22 minutes after, and they realized that we were still on the first point. And I think one individual in particular said, this is going to take another hour. I do apologize for that, but that's just the way it does work out sometimes, probably too often, but I appreciate your grace in that. We're probably not going to be going there right now to that because we want to focus on some Thanksgiving stuff. To do that, what I'd like to do is read a couple of things from Scripture, a couple passages from Scripture to help us realize maybe that Thanksgiving is something that ought to be intentional. Too often, and I'll only speak for myself, but I feel like giving thanks for things, I will fail to do that, maybe in a public way like this, because it sounds too cliche or too expected. But we are, as the people of God, supposed to be intentional in giving Him thanks for His deeds that He has done. Now, to show you that, I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and then from there, we're going to go to the Psalms. But in 1 Chronicles, and this takes us to the history books, First Chronicles 16, and what's happening here, the title of this chapter that has been included was not there in its original manuscript, but my Bible says the ark placed in the temple. So at this point of spiritual success, if you will, in the life of the people of Israel, in the life of David, let us see how they respond to this. And we'll start with 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. And I'm just going to choose a few different verses in this chapter to help highlight the intentionality that he had pertaining to Thanksgiving. So in verse 4, let me read the first verses to give you the flow of what's happening here. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone in Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Now verse 4. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And then there's a list of names of people that did that. I'm not about to try to read all of those. But you notice there that David was intentional in appointing Levites for the specific purpose of commemorating, of thanking God and praising Him. Now the next verse in this chapter is verse 7. In verse 7 it says, on that day David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to what? To thank the Lord. And then in verse 8, that's our next verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. So he is instructing them in this song to thank God and to make known God's deeds among the people. Then he goes on from there in verse 9. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. So often, the way in which we recognize the works of God is through our singing. You see, we are a singing people. The church, the redeemed people of God, are a singing people. Whether you like to sing or you don't like to sing is beside the point. The point is that we are a singing people because we have been redeemed by God through Christ. Therefore, He has put a new song in our hearts, and we ought to open up our mouths and praise Him because of what He's done. That is the natural response. Now, the next verse here is verse 34, where at the nearing the end of it, he says again, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? Good. For His mercy endures forever." In verse 35, "And say, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to what? Give thanks to Your holy name, to triumph in Your praise." So he was praying here for the salvation of God in their lives, to be saved, delivered from the nations that opposed God and opposed His people for the purpose of thanking His holy name, giving thanks to the holy name of God. And then we go down to verse 41. In verse 41, it says, And with them, Heman and Jeduthun and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name to give thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. So, do you see how intentional David was with his people, with the people of God, instructing them and providing a way in which they could give thanks to the Lord for what He has done? Now, our next passage that I'll have you turn to is in Psalm 105. Psalm 105. We'll see it here as well. Psalm 105, and we're going to end up in 107. But in Psalm 105, at the beginning of it, I'm not reading this whole thing, don't worry. Sometimes I say that and end up reading like all but one verse, but I want to keep my integrity. But in verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples." So he's instructing them in this psalm to give thanks. At the very beginning of it, it is reminding them that they must thank the Lord. And then what happens after that? As you kind of peruse the verses of this chapter, what's he talking about? Yeah, basically it's the history of Israel. Psalm 105 is a history of Israel. So in his giving thanks and instructing them to give thanks, what they do is they go back and they review what God has done in the past in saving them, redeeming them, calling them out of Egypt, and continuing to sustain them. So they give thanks as they remember those things. Then we go to 106, Psalm 106. In Psalm 106, at the beginning of it, it also says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." And then as you peruse this chapter, what do you see? How do they go about doing that? By remembering their what? Their what? Okay. They do recognize their sin in there. It's again going back and seeing the history of Israel and really the long-suffering and patience of God in the midst of their sin. It's not that God forgot about their sin or did nothing about it, but they do recognize it. And yet they can still call upon God as their Lord and say of Him, "Praise the Lord, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. I think I forgot to read that praise the Lord part a while ago. Now, if you'll go over to Psalm 107, this is a really cool psalm. This is fascinating to me. And this is one of what I find in this psalm is one of the reasons that I want to read the Bible every year of my life until I die. Because I don't want to miss out on stuff like you see in this psalm. And you only find things like what I'm about to show you by reading it continually, studying the Bible, or maybe somebody stands up and tells it to you sometime. But when you dig it out yourself, it sticks and it means a lot. If you look here in Psalm 107, you notice in verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Then you go down to verse 8, and he says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Verse 15, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And then you go to verse 21, where he says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." And then you go to verse 31, where he says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders." Do you see how 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in this psalm, spread out throughout it, he not only states that men ought to do it, but he states it in such a way that he desires that men would give thanks to the Lord, because the psalmist realized how worthy God was to be thanked and to be praised. Now, I said that earlier about reading the Bible because I noticed all those things by reading the Bible. And to me, that is so fascinating that the author intentionally wrote it in this way under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, again coming back and emphasizing the need for God's people to give thanks to Him. So, do you see intentionality in this? It's throughout this passage, and it's throughout the passage in 1 Chronicles that we read as well. And as we come now tonight to really open up the floor for a time for us to give thanks to the Lord, I hope that you maybe thought about it a little bit. As we go into this Thanksgiving season, you know, you may have a family that you're going to get together with, and it's just not, there's not freedom there to praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about? There's not freedom there in that assembly for everybody to go around and give thanks to God for something that God has done. But among the people of God, there is freedom to do that. Among the church, there ought to be freedom to do that, and we ought to try to be intentional in doing it. So with that being said, you know, I just wanted to begin by saying that I do thank the Lord for so many different things. But in light of these psalms that we've read, it's important to recount our history. And for someone who was lost in sin as I was, very self-centered and selfish, God saved me when I was 17 years old. I did absolutely nothing to deserve it. I had no idea really what was even going on, other than the fact that God, through His Word, had begun to work in my life and to draw me to Himself. And when I was 17 years old, because of the grace of God, He gave me the gifts of repentance and faith. Because at that time in my life, I repented of sin. There were things in my life that I had not even recognized or thought anything about. But after God saved me, I began to see them as an offense to God, and I no longer wanted to do them. And for the first time in my life, I had a true faith in God, a faith that resulted in me desiring to know Him and to serve Him. For me, in my life, there's two things that stand out as a testimony, in my testimony. I had two significant injuries in high school. One was playing football in my junior year. The other was playing baseball my senior year. And when I laid on the football field injured as an 11th grader, I laid there and I cursed God. I cursed Him. And I did that because I did not know Him, first of all, but I did that because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And I did it. I went on from there, you know, and got healed up from that, got ready for the baseball season, which baseball is what I really cared about. And the baseball season got started, and there's an injury that occurred in baseball that early on in the season that knocked me out for the entire year. My senior year, no baseball. My year was ruined. But I remember right after that injury occurred in the ball game, I knew it was bad. I knew I wouldn't be able to play anymore. Rather than cursing God, I remember walking out across the field behind the baseball field because I just wanted to get away and be by myself. I began to walk across there, and I wasn't cursing Him, but I was calling out to Him as my Father. Because even though I didn't know what in the world was going on, and I wasn't happy about it, I called out to Him as my Father. And that shows the drastic change that had taken place in my life from my junior year to my senior year. And what had happened is, God, through some different people in the local church, through sharing His Word, He had called me out of darkness and into light. He had taken me out of bondage to the devil, and He had made me His son. He had taken someone who did not have forgiveness of sins, and because of what Christ did on the cross, He had forgiven me of my sins. And as I look back over the history of my life, even to now, because the thing that I thought about when it came to giving thanks was, I thought about how in my Bible reading, I am able to focus more now than I've ever been able to in all of my life. Like, really focus. I don't ever read the Bible just to get my reading done. Whenever I'm reading the Bible, I'm really reading it and focusing on it. And I am thankful for that. That's where I am now. And what happens is, now it's been 30 years, because I'm 47 years old. It's been 30 years. I'm getting old as dirt. But 30 years, God has sustained me over that whole time. It's not because of myself that I've been kept to this point, but it's by the sustaining grace and mercy of God. So I give thanks to Him through Jesus Christ for what He has done and what He is continuing to do in my life. Does anybody else have anything you'd like to share as far as Thanksgiving goes tonight? You better, because I gave y'all like a heads up on this big time. Anybody? Jackie, you want a microphone? You want to come right here and stand and give thanks? I didn't know you were going to ask this to be. That'd be great. Well, if you just come on up here and stand. Is that all right with you? Jackie? I don't know if you'd be weird about standing behind the podium or anything.
No, I'm good. It's not Sunday morning. We're good. Hi. Okay, so I just, I brought this up here only because the Word of God means a lot to me. And that kind of started about 28 years ago when my husband handed me a Word of God. And one of the versions was in this book. But It changed my life. It changed the way I thought. It changed the way I perceived a lot of things in life. So fast forward to this year where I graduate my last child. And just before I graduated her, I had a very, very difficult circumstance that happened with family. And I didn't know it was coming. I didn't know things were going to work out the way that they did. But I can tell you that I was driven to stay firmly planted here. And also, many of you, whether you knew it or not, you would text or call or encourage me at just the right time to change some of that sweeping darkness that wanted to take over. And so sometimes we minister to each other without really knowing that we're doing that. So, but I will say, between reading the Word of God, which has been very, you know, how you were saying focused, that's been something for me this year. And it's been so important for me to get through this big change where I'm no longer with little people in my life. I like little people, don't get me wrong, but I graduated my children. I'm entering a new season of life. And no matter what, I know that I can still praise God for His Word, for His church, and for His character, for who He is and how faithful He is in my life. So.
Anybody else? Jake?
Well, I wasn't really planning on sharing this part, but Pastor Eric read Psalm 107, and I can't really pinpoint exactly when I got saved, like the exact minute, but I got a rough idea. Some of you know my testimony, lived a super rebellious, sinful life. Struggled heavily with sin of drunkenness, or as the world would say, alcoholism. Lord has redeemed me out of that, praise. So I'm very thankful for my wife and my son. And so anyway, Psalm 107, I was, let's see, 22. And I was hospitalized several times because of drinking and stuff. So anyways, I don't know how, but I somehow got my hands on a Bible, and I opened up to Psalm 107, and verses, and I read it, verses 17 through 21, like I felt like I was reading about myself. Fools, because of their rebellious way, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near the gates of death. There's a really dark part of my testimony I don't talk a lot about, but that was very true. For what I was going through because of my rebellious and sinful life. 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his wonders to the sons of men. So I was in this detox, basically, in the hospital, once again, and read this, and I'm like, the Lord just spoke to me through it, not audibly, but, yeah. And so I cried out to God, and I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this. I've started going to churches before that, and he made a way for me to get into a Christian rehab facility, and I stayed there for quite a while, and it gave me a lot of time to focus on the Lord. While I was there, I got baptized, and it helped me get off all kinds of antidepressants and all kinds of pills and stuff I was prescribed. And later on, God still refined me and got a lot of nasty things out of my life. And had he not, I'd be dead. I truly don't believe I'd be living right now. And he redeemed me and he forgave me my sins. And if he never did anything besides that, that's the most I could ever ask for. But he continued to bless me. He gave me a wife and we have a son, and it's amazing. Like, I was the most unproductive member of society. My car would sit in my driveway for weeks with a flat tire, and I couldn't get the motivation to get up and do something simple like that. And to where I am now, not because of anything I've done, just because of the goodness and faithfulness of God. Like, I got a job. My wife can stay home and raise, and, you know, it's amazing how good God is. And this last year, we got some newer families here. So Mallory and I, we lost our two daughters in September 1st, they were conjoined twins. We knew for a while that they wouldn't make it, but they were born, and they lived 9 hours, and we got to see them. So real thankful for that. Sorry for getting emotional. But so we're and another thing, God in His providence, like we moved down here a year and a half ago. The Lord just worked it out, and some of it was like, it seemed kind of random for us, but in God's providence, knowing that we were going to go through something like that, brought us to North Alabama from Ohio, so random, and got us into a church, New Life Baptist Church, and that's why, like, at first we weren't 100%, yeah, we know God wants us here, but now we know God wants us here to be members at New Life and to serve here, and God comforted us through all of you guys and so many other people, but like there's no way we would have gotten the support and comfort and guidance and encouragement from anywhere else but New Life. Sorry for getting a little emotional here, but we just have it. We could have. The Lord sustained us through that so much and is so faithful. Our marriage could have deteriorated. We could have slipped into the worst type of depression. We could have neglected our duties as a husband and wife. Our son's life could have suffered through that, but not because we're good Christians, but because God is faithful. He sustained us through this, and He worked through other Christians to help us get through this. And it has nothing to do with Mallory and I. It's all the Lord. I don't even know how to explain it, just how good God is and how He continued. And it's not just a one and done, like God's faithfulness, that's who He is. Like we sit back and think about and meditate on what God's taught us through all this. And it's how good He is, and He has a will, and He's going to do it. And that will is always good. His ways aren't our ways. And they're higher above our ways. And He has taught us to trust Him. And that's one thing we've learned through a lot of this, is to trust the Lord and lean on Him, not on ourselves. We don't know what's right for us. We only know what's right for us as revealed in God's Word. So that's one thing we're thankful that we've grown through all of this. And, it could have been a lot different, but there is no woulda, coulda, shoulda, or whatever with God and His sovereignty. So, yeah, we're just real thankful for what the Lord does through His people. So that's what we got. Thank you.
Did anybody else want to share tonight anything? Laura?
I have a passage. My name is Laura, and my family is new to the area, and we have fallen in love with you all and just recognize what a special place the Spirit of the Lord and His truth and just how y'all love one another. 2 Corinthians says, "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again." And this became a favorite passage of mine as a teenager.
Fix this mic stand.
Okay. As a teenager, I began having very severe depression, and this was a great comfort to me. And then there's been periods just in my life and in my walk with the Lord where I turn to this and remember God's faithfulness to His people, and then remember His faithfulness to me and know. And our family has gone through a very difficult few years. But reflecting on the past year, the Lord used a time with our son. There's a great devotional on the 23rd Psalm by Susan Hunt called See a Man, His Shepherd, and it goes line by line through Psalm 23. And through this and my personal Bible study, the Lord just loved me and showed me so many special things. But the first part of Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." And the particular thing that our son and I were reading together, the point about the lying down in green pastures, is that sheep and people cannot lie down and rest unless four things are happening. If number one, if you're afraid. Number two, if you're angry. Number three, if you're not peaceful, if you're agitated or irritated. And number four, if you're hungry. And so that was kind of a catalyst that the Lord used to help me search my heart and realize ways that I was fearful and I was angry and agitated and not having a quiet heart. And for the hungry part, just being satisfied in Christ alone. And like to know what the Lord has done inside my heart is so amazing, and it does carry over. But I just praise the Lord for how he's helped me to uproot these things in my own heart and how he is so faithful. And when he allows things that cause us to despair of life, it is a good gift because it makes us run to him and cling to him and experience his peace and joy as nothing else could. And so I just praise the Lord for what he's done in my own heart.
I just got two things real quick that I'm really thankful for from this last year. I learned best visually, but I also learned best by asking questions. And I praise the Lord that God led us, me and my brothers, to a church that I could just ask questions. Doesn't matter who, doesn't matter anywhere, anything. I have a question I can ask, be willing to answer. And if they don't know the answer, they'll come back to me and say, I'll try to figure it out and come back to you. And it's not degrading, it's not demoralizing, or you should know this. I have no problem understanding it. I just would like to know where. Where is it from? And that's the first thing I'm thankful for. Second thing I'm thankful for is my brothers. You know, you have people that, you know, you want to call you out on stuff, you know, so you can try to be better, be a better Christian, be a better man. Family can do that really well. So I praise the Lord for them, and praise the Lord that we're all trying to, Caleb and Philip, trying to learn together, be men of God, do right. And we have no problem, or at least we try to have no problem, no qualm with, hey, you know you did this. Yeah, I was kind of hoping you weren't going to bring that up, you know. So praise the Lord for that, and I just was very thankful for that.
Amen.
So obviously, we are very thankful for our daughter. Some of y'all don't know that she was 2 months early and spent 25 days in the NICU. But a few days ago, after we went to bed, I was just laying in bed, overcome with emotion, just being very thankful for our son and for her, and that Seth has been such a great leader in our home. And between him and God, I've been able to stay home, and it's been a blessing to be able to watch and learn and raise our two kids at home. I've just been very thankful over the year that we came to New Life. I feel like it's not only helped me, it's helped my husband, it's helped our son, it's helped us all as a family. And I'm very thankful for everyone here. I'm very thankful for, I can text any one of you guys or call any one of you guys and y'all give me mother advice or friendly advice or anything. And it's just nice to be able to be myself here and be welcomed and loved. And I know our family is very blessed to be here and we love all of y'all.
Go ahead and come on up if there's anybody else that was wanting to say something tonight to give thanks to the Lord for what he has done.
Well, I just wanted to say that I'm particularly thankful for my wife, Christy. It took a while for us to get together. We started dating in 1999, but it didn't work out quite that well. So we stopped after just a couple of weeks, and just didn't quite connect. But in 2004, I had prayed because I was getting very lonely, working all the time, not really dating at all. And she made the same prayer, and I heard a week later from a few of my friends who said that Christy was interested to see if he wanted to get back together. So we did, dated about a year, and still wasn't quite ready for us. I don't think neither one of us was in the right place, but I think that is, God was saying, this is the person who you're going to get to. You just need to get ready to be a proper husband, and she a proper, so... And finally, 2012, after the tornado, 2011, after the tornadoes came through, she asked if on Facebook Messenger, saying if you know how I was doing after the storm. You know, thankfully, I didn't have any problems, but still, we started talking again. That time, I said, "Okay, this is the time. You're both ready now," and we. That led to a proposal in 2012 and marriage in 2013. During our premarital counseling, we had decided, because neither one of us had really been attending churches that much, I still was believed in God and didn't have a problem. I was just more, didn't feel right. But during premarital counseling, we decided that we did want to have that. You know, we got with our brother Tim Jones with our parents' church, because again, we didn't really have one. And so that meant 3 weeks drives to Columbus. And during that time, he said, I mean, how do you want to run your household? And we decided that, yes, we did want to have a Christian, Christ-led centered at our house. But even after we got married, we still hadn't quite started to do that. So that is, we tried different churches, didn't quite feel right. Usually at the time I would come to church, it would be near the end, or meet at the beginning of the service, and at the end, okay, out the door. Okay, and you are set. Okay, he's gone. So, and Jonathan Slater, Christy's guitar teacher, had mentioned this. He had gotten saved recently, so he suggested we come here, and it really clicked for us. We stayed about an hour after our first meeting, and oftentimes you'll be here and Eric will start flashing the lights or saying, okay, just make sure everything's locked up before you leave. And we really are grateful. So I'm grateful for Christy, of course, and I'm also grateful to my church family.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. Was there anybody else before we finish our time of Thanksgiving tonight? Did anybody else need to say anything, recognize what the Lord's done in your life, and want to share that with everyone? Brother David?
I just want to say that, you know, the scriptures have so much to say about leadership, and we're so grateful to have a pastor like Eric Sweeney and his dear family. We are blessed as a small church to have a godly pastor. He's been pastor 5 years now, and a little bit over that, and it's just been a real blessing to serve with him and just to see how God has blessed our fellowship. For those that are new here, everything you look around and see is different than it was just a few years ago. And even these chairs here are going to be changed out in a few weeks because of God's faithfulness and our people's faithfulness. It's just been a real blessing to see a godly man serve as a pastor who loves the Lord and loves God's word and loves his people. And along with our deacons, we've had tremendous deacons to serve with them. Payne and Les, John and Dwayne, Aaron. If I'm leaving somebody out, I apologize. But it's just a blessing to be grateful for God leading our church with such godly men and women. And our fellowship is just so precious. We love our people, and I'm so thankful for my wife as well. She's been a blessing all these years. I was going to tell Andrew, I learn best visually also. And that's part of my disadvantage. But my wife is truly have been a blessing along with my family. And just so thankful for so many things in this year. Just grateful to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother David. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight. If you join me on your knees, if you're able to. If not, please remain seated. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. If anyone would like to offer a prayer aloud, do so, and I'll close us after I see that all the prayers have finished. But let's just end our night tonight in prayer. As we're in a posture of prayer, spirit of prayer, I got a text message before church about a lady named Annelle Hatzel, who has her cancer has come back and she's not doing well. She's in the hospital right now.
and about to be put on hospice. But she's 45 years old. Her son graduated from LCA here. But if we could, and you all would just take a little bit of time here to pray for Anel Hatzel and her family. Well, Lord, we join with the psalmist in saying, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Father, may it begin with each of us. May it begin with me to be more thankful. Well, Lord, to recognize your deeds that you do and the blessings that we enjoy, that I enjoy. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, Father, what you're doing among us. Through the ordinary means of grace, nothing fancy. Father, just seeking to be obedient to you from your word. And I praise you, Father, for your blessings upon us. I pray for all of our brothers and sisters. Pray for those who are sick, that you heal. Those who are traveling, that you would give mercy and grace. God, those who are struggling in some relationship or some need, Father, please provide and show yourself strong on their behalf. For we know that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Please, Lord, according to our hope in you, have mercy. And I pray now, Father, as we go out this week, that you would please bless us and make us a light in this wicked and perverse generation in which we live, and help us to hold forth the truth of your word and to live for you this week. I pray for Anel Hatzel and her family, and I pray, God, that you would comfort them with the comfort that is from God, and I pray that they will cast all their cares upon you. I pray, Lord, they'd be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let their requests be made known to you. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that she believes firmly in Christ Jesus and that he rose again from the dead and has conquered it, and that through him she can have eternal life. But bless and keep the family. And Lord, as we dismiss now, use us this week as your ambassadors. And help us, Lord, to not forget you in anything that we do. In Christ's holy name I pray. Amen.